Such an awesome awareness of God in this house today and presence of God. I am so humbled to be with you today, and I don't say that lightly, but I count this church as a very special part of our lives, and I don't know, I just I like this, I like what God's doing around here, and I talk about this church a lot and what God is doing. We see the working of God throughout the country, and we've had an opportunity to go around a little bit, and you see a lot of different churches, you see a lot of different pastors, and I can honestly say that this church is on the cutting edge of what God is doing in Winnemac. And you say, how do you know that? Well, I can definitely tell by the Spirit of God, and just by the what your pastor tells me. A lot of times. And I don't get the this one's a problem, that one's a problem routine, but I always get God is doing great things. We're looking at this, we're doing this, and we're expecting this, and it's always positive. What an awesome testimony from this church. And I believe in years to come that we're going to look back on these services in this little storefront, and we're going to say, I remember when on a Sunday morning, or I remember on a Tuesday evening or a Wednesday evening, or I remember when God did this or this, and I remember when they came in, and we're going to see God do it before our very eyes, because truly we don't have a long time. I believe God's getting ready to come back. I believe we're living in the very last of days. You know, we just experienced the shooting here in America again, and you know, it's not a time to be depressed and down and downtrodden because of, like your pastor was saying, but it's a time for us to be excited and time to be happy about where we are in life and what God is doing. Hebrews chapter number 4 is where we're going today in our word. I want to say thank you, Pastor Smith, for this great opportunity, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I don't ever want to get to the place that I feel like I've arrived, or I know the right words to say, or the right buttons to push. But I just want to get to the place to where God can be God, and He can move through me. I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. I feel the Holy Ghost. It's been in this service from the very beginning. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into the rest, lest any man fall from the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched. I like this verse. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And I want to preach today the answer to a lot of questions. I want to preach a question. Can I touch Jesus? Can I touch Jesus? Pastor, would you pray today for the anointing? Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor today. Tell them, ask them the question, can you touch Jesus? It's a good question. You may be seated today. Questions begin to come, and I'm sure if you're honest today and you've probably asked some of these questions, and I wrote down just a few of them today that came to my mind that I've heard people ask in all different walks of life. And you know, you're not here by accident today. You purposely made up your mind to get up and get dressed and get out of bed, maybe eat something, and purposely chose to be in service today. Because God knows what we have need of even before we ask Him. And He knows where we're going to be tomorrow. He knows where we're going to be the next day. And today is the most important day in your life. Because there are decisions that you have to make today that are going to affect tomorrow. So questions can come into our mind. Can I really touch God? Does God really know where I am? Is there really a God? Then why is all this happening? I wonder if God even is real. How can God, a God you cannot see, be touched? It's a good question. How can a God that I can't even see be touched? And or does He even exist? Can I touch Jesus? It's a question today. You see, God is omnipotent. He is omnipresent and He is omniscient. He is, in John 4:24, the Bible says God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Both God and the Word, who became Christ, the Bible says that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. These things have existed eternally and before all else, before time. From them, the God and the Word, emanates the Spirit of God, by which God is omnipresent and He is omniscient. In the beginning, God. We know in Genesis chapter 1, probably one of the first things that you wonder about God is, as just a little child, I can relate with this. Where did God come from? Where is He? I mean, how does this happen? Where did God come from? But we just have to understand that God has always been. It's a mystery to us. We really can't wrap our brains around it per se. Just understand that He always has existed. We remember that the secret things belong only unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. In Deuteronomy 29. God always was, He always will be. Revelations chapter 1 and verse 8. Many, many documentation to the fact that God always was. He always is. God has always existed. Notice what God's name is. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, what is thy name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. That sets it pretty clear. I am who I am. And He said, thus you say shall say to the children of Israel, I am sent me to you. Before there was a universe, there was a God. Before there was this great majestic starscape out there, there was a God. Before there was any planets, there was a God. Before there was time, there was a God. God is omnipotent. Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Revelation chapter 19 and 6. The Greek word here that is translated as omnipotent is meaning the all ruling. And this word omnipotent can get a little detailed, but I just want to break it down in this. It means all ruling. And more frequently translated in the English dictionary as Almighty. And so when you begin to look at the Almighty or omnipotent, we say God is Almighty. And we are stating, when we say this, our belief and authority that He is ruler over all creation, over all space, all time, and I'm declaring the fact that he is almighty. You see, almighty was mentioned 58 times in Scripture, and it is just a confirming fact that he is all power. Omnipresent means being present everywhere at the same time. I can't do that, but God is. God can be here and he can be in Africa at the same time. God can be everywhere present at the same time. There's no physical location in the universe where we can hide from the presence of God. The answer, according to Scripture, if you ask, can you hide from God, is a resounding no. In fact, King David posed the question directly asking, where can I go from your spirit? Question. Or where can I flee from your presence? Question. If I ascend into heaven, there you are. If I make my bed in hell or the grave, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand of power shall uphold me. That's in Psalms chapter 139, 7 through 10. You see, God is everywhere. And we're kind of building a base right now, but I believe that if we would begin to realize how magnificent God is, the question still reigns inside of you, can I really touch him? And God is everywhere. He is in the know, and the Spirit of God is infinite. It doesn't end. He is omniscient, having complete or unlimited knowledge, awareness or understanding. He perceives all things. He knows your thoughts, though they be afar off. He knows the hairs on your head and how many's there without even having somebody count them for you. Some it wouldn't take very long. Others it might take a while. But he already knows them. He already knows the hairs. The Bible tells us that God does perceive all things, which means that no fact can be hidden from his knowledge. As King David recognized, indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as day, the darkness as the light, both are alike you. God sees all things and nothing can be hid from his knowledge. Not even the secret intentions of your heart. In fact, he understands our intentions better than we know our own intentions. It's funny. You know, you can go through life sometimes you think, man, why did I say that? Because God already knows your intentions. He already knows your heart. And a lot of times, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, and I'm getting on a rabbit trail, but I'll come back. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And sometimes what's in the heart just comes out. It just, there it is. See, God knows where we're at even before we know where we're at. And that's comforting. Because how many times do you get in these situations where life smacks you right between the eyeballs, and you're sitting there spinning and saying, whoa, this isn't normal. I've been offended greatly right now. This hasn't worked out in my life. That was supposedly a man of God. How many times do we find ourselves in these situations where life has smacked us right between the eyes? If we didn't have an all-knowing God, we'd be in trouble. But thank God we have a God that knows us. He sees us 2 years from now. He sees us 20 years from now. He knows where you're at. That's why he's working with you right now when you're going through the issues and the troubles and the tests and the trials and the situations. He's still working with you because he knows where you're going to be 20 years from now. He knows that you're going to be in the very palm of his hand and he has everything in control. Hallelujah. As Paul explains, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him in whom we must give an account. Do you realize you're going to give account to God one day? You are going to answer for your actions that you are doing in life today. You're going to give account in glory someday. You see, humans perceive through their senses, but there are limits to what the senses will let us perceive and even understand. But God's senses are not limited like our senses are limited. You see, his spirit searcheth all things, and nothing is beyond God's capability and ability to perceive it. In this sense, he is omniscient. Nothing can escape his gaze and his knowledge. Hallelujah. If it can be known, God knows it. If it's a question, God has the answer. If it's even a remote question in your mind, God already has the answer. Even before we ask it, this is powerful today. Even though God is an all-knowing God and He knows everything and He holds the future, this does not mean that God will make your choices for you. God is not going to walk out into space and find somebody that He has created to worship Him and make them worship Him or make them serve Him. But that is the only thing that God's going to leave into our hands is our ability to make a decision. He's not going to walk into your life and walk into your bedroom of your house and into your house and begin to make decisions for you. But He's going to give you a pastor that's going to begin to preach into you and direct you and guide you, and it's up to you to make the decision. Oh yes, God, you know more than I know, and you're saying right now, today, this is the day of salvation, this is the accepted time. I'm going to make my decision based upon the knowledge of who God is, not upon what I feel all the time, but upon a knowledge that you know me and you see me and you know where I'm going to be tomorrow. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands of the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Our God is one that will not make your choices for you. You see, in Genesis chapter number 22, he had a decision was made by Abraham when God had told Abraham early in his life. He said, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through your seed. You see, through your child, through your son, everything's going to come to fruition. It'll be like the sands of the sea. Your generations will go on, and everywhere your foot trotteth, it's going to be blessed. But it's going to be through your seed. You see, God had made a promise to him. But then there comes a time when God says, take your son, your only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there a burnt offering upon a mountain that I'll tell you of. I'm not even going to tell you where you're going, but I'm just going to let you know you need to go and you need to do. But wait a minute, God, this is going beyond my thinking right now, because you're God, and you said that all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed, but now you're telling me I got to take the son that I love, the only son that I have, and take him to a mountain and destroy his life. Kill him. How many times have we been there in our mentality where we just say, no, God, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. You see, this is the way I mapped it out, and this is the way it's supposed to be. And God's saying, wait a minute, I thought you were supposed to be trusting in me. He said, lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways, that leaves nothing out. Acknowledge him. And what's he going to do? He's going to direct your path. You may start your journey in one place, but you may end your journey in another place. It's not all about our thinking and our agenda. And our way of thinking. But God says, you've got a road you've got to walk down. It might not be pleasant. It might not be the way you want it to be, but it's a road, and you're going to walk down it. And it wasn't until Abraham raised the knife in the air that God stopped his arm. He had to go all the way to the place where he said, okay, here it is, God. I'm going to do it. Even though you said something else, I'm still going to go down the path that you say to go. And God said, now I know that thou fearest me, because thou hast not withheld thine only son whom thou lovest. Oh, if we could ever get a hold of the concept today that God sees us where we're at. He knows your address. He knows your name. He understands your situations even more than anybody else. He knows them more than mother. He knows them more than father. He knows them more than sister. He knows them more than a counselor. He knows them more than anybody. And God's saying, I love you. I care for you. I want you to live for me. I want you to make a right decision. I feel the Holy Ghost today. God inhabits all of eternity. God is love. God is infinite. God is omnipotent or almighty, such as no part of creation can escape his influence or his authority. If it's time for somebody to pass from this earth, it's God's timing. It's not my timing. I cannot make it happen. I can't heal. I can't deliver. But I got a God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or even think. If I allow my mentality to chart my course, I'm going to find a dead end road. But if I'll realize it's not in man to guide his own footsteps, but I'm going to walk every day in the faith that God is able. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For if you have faith, you can say to mountains, be thou removed and cast into the sea. If you have faith, you can tell that situation, you're not going to dominate my life. You're not going to control me. But I have faith, and I'm standing upon the word of God. I shall not be moved. I'm like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. You try to pluck me out of the grasp of hell, into the grasp of Satan. It's not going to happen. My feet are planted. I'm not going to be moved. I shall not be moved. But I'm going to connect with the only presence of God that can pull me out of temptation, that can pull me out of the doldrums, that can pull me out of situations. I feel the Holy Ghost today. Can you raise your hands in a spirit of surrender unto God right now? Oh, Jesus, we're trusting you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visiteth him? How many times have you laid on your bed at night and began to feel the hot tears as they roll down your cheeks? As you begin to pray for that lost loved one and you begin to say, God, would you please put something in their heart. Do you realize God saw those tears even before you cried those tears? God saw your heart even before you walked down that road. And the spirit and the question sometimes begins to question in our minds. God, can I really touch you? Can I touch you? Because you feel so forsaken, feel so alone, like he isn't listening. It's a question that's real, and it haunts the minds of so many people throughout the churches today, and even those that are in the world. My own father, before he came to God, began to question, is there really a God? He didn't even know anything about God, but he began to question, is there really a God? And if there is, can I touch him? Hallelujah. Life has a way of blurring your focus on the things that really matter. The busyness of life can leave you at times questioning. This is a serious moment today in this message. I think it's important that we realize first and foremost, there is a God. And you cannot separate God from his word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God. The God that spoke the worlds into existence, guess what? He is still God. The same God that walked with Adam in the cool of the day that we read about in this beautiful book, he is still God. The same God that was with Abraham and Joseph and Moses and all the patriarchs that we read about as they crossed great hurdles in their life, he is still God. The same God that is with the children of Israel, he is still God. Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. All throughout scripture, touching Jesus. And this is where we're going today, just for the next few moments. Give me another 5-10 minutes here. Touching Jesus is what it's all about. Really, really, it's about touching him, having a relationship with him. There has always been and always will be a health and a comfort for those who touch Jesus. If you begin to go through your scriptures, In Matthew chapter 8, there was a cleansing touch when there was a fever that was healed. Matthew chapter 8 and 3, a quieting touch when leprosy came upon that individual. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 28, there was an illuminating touch when blind eyes were opened. Matthew 17 and 7, there was a reassuring touch. In Mark 7 and 33, there was a liberating touch when the deaf and the dumb was healed. In Mark 10 and 13, the touch upon childhood when he said, children, when he said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for as such is the kingdom of heaven. Luke 22 and 51, there was a healing touch when he picked the ear up off of that soldier and put it back upon him. If you go to Luke chapter 8, there was a woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians. Neither could be healed of any. And she came near and touched the border of his garment. And immediately the issue of blood was staunched or stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? What a crazy statement. You've got thousands of people standing around you, Jesus. You've got people bumping into you all over the place, and you ask, who touched me? I'll tell you what happened in verse 48. He said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. You see, there was an individual that had got a hold of something in her life. She had sought many things of many physicians. She had went as far as she could go and done as much as she could do in her mind until she reached a place where she said, okay, God, it's desperation time. I just want to touch you. I just want to feel you. Was it a touch? I tend to say right now, and I don't know what the theologians say, but this is what Brad 101 says. I believe it was an attitude inside of that individual that said, I've got to touch him. I don't care that there's thousands of people that are touching him and even almost knocking him down. Every one of them was the touch, but there was something within inside of that lady that said, it's been hell. It's been chaos. It's been confusion. It's been a troubled road. But I know one thing today. I've got to touch Jesus. Nothing's going to stop me. I've got an attitude. I'm going to press. I'm going to go. I'm going to make a way at the feet of Jesus where I can be touched because I need him. I don't know about anybody else, but that's just what I want to believe today, that this lady had left her own mentality and said, oh, I'm not going through the motions anymore. I'm not just going to come and sit on a pew and feel the goosebumps as the Spirit of God begins to move. But I want to get to the place that, God, I've got to touch you. It's an attitude. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. I've got to get to the place where I can touch him. And guess what? God's going to be there. He's going to be there to meet you at the point of your need. The only difference between this lady, I believe, and the rest of the hundreds of people was the attitude in which she came. She left with an experience where others just left with a touch. You see, I believe if you'll get to the place where you won't walk out of these doors without a touch and an experience, there will be deliverance in your life. There will be miracles in your life. There will be answers in your life if you won't just leave with a touch, but you'll leave with an experience that I've got to touch you, but it's not the physical touch I'm looking for right now, but there's something more that I'm reaching for. There's a relationship that I'm searching for. There's a desire in my heart that I want more of God. I'm not just going to keep going through the motions of good apostolicism, but I want to touch you. It's got to be a desperation. It's got to be something inside your soul that will not let you sleep, that will not let you go, that I've got to touch him. Somebody raise your hands right now and begin to feel after the Holy Ghost. I don't know where you're at today. I really don't. I don't know anybody real personal today. I just know that this message has been beating on my heart all day. I was up early this morning. God began to put some things into my heart. I don't believe this is just a cliche story that fits the message today, but Jesus wants somebody to realize. Maybe it's been a long time since you've truly felt Jesus. Maybe it's been a long time since you've really felt the power and the presence of an almighty God. I challenge somebody in the spirit today to begin to press in spite of the questions and life dealing us a bad hand, because listen, life deals us a bad hand. It's not fair. People flat out are not fair. And even Christians sometimes are not fair. But God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. It might be that God is waiting on a desperation. That God, I cannot do this anymore. And I've went as far as I can go. You see, Jacob reached that spot in his life when he said, I've went as far as I can go. I know my father-in-law's coming behind me and my brother's coming from the other direction. And here I am right in the middle. And Jacob had to realize, hey, I've got to make a decision today. I've got to make that decision today, Pastor Smith. I cannot leave this spot without making a decision. Because if I don't make the right decision, my family's going to be lost. My children are going to be destroyed. Everything I have is going to be taken from me. And we know Jacob, he went across the Ford Jabbok and he began to wrestle with the angel. And there came a touch that smote him in the thigh. There was that touch that he touched Jesus. It wasn't just a lay me down to sleep prayer, but he realized there's desperation here. I've got to be desperate. Hallelujah. I hope this isn't going over your head today, but you might say, I'm callous to God. It's too callous for God to touch me. I really want to see Jesus and I really want to touch him, but I'm just a little calloused and I'm a little too, you know, whatever. That's just whatever it is, you know, these little thoughts that come to our mind. And I believe that, that Zacchaeus could testify just a little bit about, it would blow your mind if you was really in Zacchaeus's place of what happened. You see, Jesus was passing through that disgraced city of Jericho that should have never been built anyway. And it's funny how Jesus goes through places where other people will try to stay away from. Woman at the well, Samaria, they were just dogs, lowly Samaritans. We aren't going to, you know, but he said, I must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because there was a point of reference that he had his mind on. And it was one individual that said, I really need God. She wasn't saying that, but God saw her and knew where she was, even though her lips were not speaking it, even though her heart might have been far from it. God said, I see somebody in Samaria. And I must needs go through Samaria because somebody needs me. Hallelujah. And this is where Zacchaeus was. He was a chief among publicans, very rich. He sought Jesus and he could not get to him because of the press. He was short in stature. He couldn't see over, couldn't get through. So what did he do? He went to the sycamore tree and climbed up in the tree and began to look to see Jesus. You see, he had everything together. He had his money. He had influence. He had power. He didn't need Jesus, but Jesus knew that he needed him, and he positioned him in such a way that he would be available when God said, I'm coming on the scene and it's time. Hey, everything comes into place when the point meets reference with God. Hallelujah. When everything lines up, you say, oh, when this T crosses this T and this I is dotted with that I, then everything's going to be okay. I don't necessarily think so, but God wants to touch you in the midst of your chaos, in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of a mind that isn't making up their mind. And he wants to say, I'm here. All you've got to do is reach. All you've got to do is reach. All you've got to do is reach. Zacchaeus. Jesus saw him in the tree and he said, come. He said, I'm going to come to your place. And Zacchaeus, you know, I don't know what was going through his mind, but he ran down that tree as fast as he could come down. Said he made haste and went to where Jesus was. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, make haste. Today I must abide in thy house. You see, when Jesus, the Bible says, when he had come to the place, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus. You see, there's a place that God has brought everybody today to, a pinnacle. He's brought you here today for a time to make a decision. Oh, you're just speaking right now. No, I'm not just speaking. I feel the Holy Ghost. And I know what God told me early this morning. There is a point that God brings everybody. And he's not going to make that decision for you. But look what happened to Zacchaeus. He said, today I must abide at thy house. You see, abide means to stay, to continue in a place, to have one's abode, to dwell, to sojourn with, before a person, and commonly with or at or in a place, to wait, to pause, or to delay, to bear patiently, to tolerate. He has to tolerate some of us sometimes because we're so stiff-necked, we're so caught up in our own way that, oh, I can just come into the church and, you know, if I pay my tithes, you know, if I'll sit on the pew and I'll just kind of go through the motions a little bit, it's all right. You know, no, it's not okay. God's tolerating you. He tolerates us because we go through the motions. Hey, I'm as guilty as anybody else on these pews today. And God said, I must abide at thy house. You see, he reached the place. And Zacchaeus, I think revelation came to him when he said, hey, I know what's happening here. God's having some mercy upon my life. God's having some grace upon my life. And he's saying, whoa, I want to bear patiently with you. I want to tolerate you. I want to put up with you. I want to abide with you. You see, the Greek word there for abide means to remain beside or near. It just all comes together. God wants to be there. He wants to. He's coming to the place. But we've got to come to the place the same time God is drawing us. Hallelujah. Can I touch Jesus? The Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Most High. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are these just fairy tale scriptures today? No, absolutely not. If the music wants to come. What I see is a man named Zacchaeus that had just really heard about Jesus from a distance. And this is what God was dealing with me today, and I hope I haven't let you down today. But what I see in Zacchaeus is a man that heard about Jesus from a distance, but had never had a relationship with him. Never. And he was so desirous to touch him and experience what everybody else was talking about. Well, you've talked about it. Man, I see the joy on your face. I see, man, I want that. I desire that. This is where Zacchaeus was. There's got to be more. There's got to be more to life. Notice when Zacchaeus came down out of the tree as an act of faith and received God joyfully. The Bible said he received him joyfully. One of the first steps to ever, ever finding a relationship with God is accepting God. Right away, there was conviction in Zacchaeus' heart, and he said, half of my goods, right now, instantly, half of my goods I'm giving to the poor. Just boom. After he had accepted the calling of God. He had accepted that drawing of God. He said, half of everything I have, I'm giving to the poor. And if I've taken anything of any man falsely, I'm going to give it back to him and restore him fourfold. You see, something came into Zacchaeus. It wasn't just the touch. But there was something that happened inside of his mind that he said, I'm going to make things right. I'm going to do what I know is right. What I've been hearing is not just stories, but it's real, and it's for whosoever will. Hallelujah. Jesus said right away, this day, salvation has come to your house. Why? Because of an attitude that says, I've got to touch him. I've got to touch him. I've got to touch him. Whatever it takes, I've got to touch him. A desperation possibly of pressing through the crowd. Or one that says, I may have to climb a tree. I don't know what you want me to do, God, but my attitude right now is this. I'm not leaving this place until I touch you. Until I touch you. I've been burnt so many times. I've been hurt. I've been confused. Just ask Doubting Thomas what happened. He said, look, touch my hands and feel my nail-scarred hands. I'm real today, and I want to be with you today. When you decide that I'm ready to give all and I just want to touch him, your life is going to begin to make sense. Can we all stand right now? The woman with the alabaster box had saved many years for that precious box against all the naysayers. You know, you could really use that for something. You could really use that. You could really use that money. But she said, oh no, oh no. There's going to come a point. There's going to come an intersecting of me and a Savior. And it's going to be at that point. At that time, when I feel God, when I feel him drawing, it's not going to be in that time in your mind that you have been thinking about for so long where this is the time. And when that happens, then it's the time. But no, God's saying, listen, this is coming unexpectedly right now. This is a point where I'm there and I'm calling. And this lady could have spent everything and said, no. I'm just going to sell this and I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to buy my way into his presence. I'm going to purchase my way into a setting that is comfortable. I'm going to have him over for dinner and we're going to talk and then everything. No, she said, I'm waiting for that point where I intersect my thinking and my agendas with God. And when that point happened, she was ready and she broke the alabaster box and she poured it out. Did it make sense to her neighbors? Did it make sense to her friends? No, it didn't make any sense. She was at a point in her life when the question was being answered. Can I touch Jesus? Absolutely, you can touch Jesus when the timing is right. He's there. The only way you're going to be able to touch him today is through a spiritual connection. I'm willing, God, to go beyond my flesh. How many's willing today to go beyond what you're comfortable with? How many's willing today to go beyond just a normal little altar call where we pray a few little prayers and we go eat and go home? But God is drawing upon somebody today. It's not by accident that you're here, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, not the throne of judgment, the throne of grace. Anything, that is what's so awesome and so beautiful about being a Christian and about being an apostolic, is anything that you've done from this point right now, that way, behind you, is behind you. It's gone. When you ask God to forgive you, when you pour your heart out to him, it's gone forever. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hallelujah. I'm all right today, preacher. I'm okay. I've spoken in tongues before. I really don't need to press into anything today. I'm okay. I'm really all right. Don't be one in the crowd today that just is comfortable just kind of bumping into him a little bit. But why don't there be somebody in the crowd today that says, you know what? I'm taking this personal. I'm taking this personal. I can touch him. I can feel him. I can have Jesus today. I can have him so strong that everybody around me will know he's touched God or she's touched God. We can be a stronger family unit than we've ever been before. We can pray together. Yes, we can. Husbands, wives. We can pray. Men, you can be leaders of your home. Yes, you can. You can be the one that says, hey, we're going to go to prayer today. Hallelujah. Can we raise our hands? God's beginning to talk to somebody today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Does anybody want to press into his presence today? You'd be willing to say, I don't care about the crowds. I don't really care about who's around me, but I feel that intersecting point today. I'm not going to push it off another day. I'm not going to push it off to a more convenient season because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Oh, yes, conviction is thick right now, but that's what God wants. God wants somebody to be convicted to the point that you're gonna do something about what you're feeling right now. Oh, there is a spiritual warfare that's going on. And the devil's fighting as hard as he can fight right now. He's on your shoulder telling you, everybody's gonna judge you. Everybody's gonna say, oh look, there goes that sinner to the altar. Guess what? We're all sinners. The devil's a liar. Hallelujah. If you feel comfortable today and would like to visit this altar, why don't you come? Why don't you come today and just stand around this altar? Bring your spouse with you. Bring your neighbor with you. Join hands right where you're at. Make this whole sanctuary an altar right now. Make this whole sanctuary an altar. There is a move of God that's happening in this place right now. That's good. God wants you to pray. God wants you to be sincere with what you're feeling right now. He wants you to realize, hey, there is a point that's being made right now in the Spirit. And he's ready to touch you. He's ready to move in your heart. It's time. The timing is right. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Join hands with your neighbor today. Lower your head and begin to pray. Let God begin to do something. Let tears come today. It's real. It's the power. It's the presence of God. I want to feel your presence today, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for what you're doing, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I don't want to just touch you today, but I want to feel your presence. I want to feel your glory today. That sickness that's been binding you, has been tormenting you, today you can have deliverance. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Oh God, speak to my heart today. Speak to my mind today. Oh, I want to touch you. I need to touch you. I want to touch you. I've got to feel your spirit today, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that's it. Holy Ghost, move right now like you want to move. Holy Ghost, Jesus is standing beside you today. Hallelujah, Jesus, in the name of Jesus.